and I'll tell you where to go. They'll also be on the PowerPoint behind me. We do that many times because maybe Holden are taking care of kids and you can't have time to open your Bible, and so other reasons as well. So David alluded to our daughter Elizabeth. This past Wednesday, our family remembered the homegoing of our daughter 22 years ago, and we have in the past tried to gather as a whole family to remember, to on that particular day, to do things that we knew that Elizabeth liked to do, or to have things to eat, or even a meal that she liked to eat, even though you know that was a struggle for her. But through the years, with adult children growing up and adult children getting married and having children of their own and increased responsibilities, and along with right now two of our children living out of town, it's made it very difficult for us to gather as a whole family to do that like we used to in years past. So this past Wednesday, which was the anniversary, Jonathan watched the six in-town grandchildren, so that Denise and Jenny and Philip and I could go out for coffee and just talk and reminisce. So thank you, Jonathan, for doing that for us. And then later that evening, we had all our in-town people, minus Monica, who had to work at the last moment, all our in-town people together and just sit around the table and share a meal and talk again and remember. And so we are grateful for the opportunity to do that. But following her homegoing back in 2004, the board graciously gave me 6 weeks off to be with Denise and the family as we walked through that grieving process. And I was so grateful for that. And those of you who know who Mitchell Gregory was, the pastor before me, he already had scheduled. Here's the Lord's working timing. He already had been scheduled to have 6 weeks off in his church. Some of his other staff were going to be preaching for him. He said, "I'll come and preach for you for 6 weeks." And so he graciously blessed us in that way. The Lord has since called him home. But when I came back after those 6 weeks, my first Sunday back in the pulpit, I shared how over the previous 6 weeks, several of you and others had been asking, how are we doing? And on that first Sunday back, what I wanted to do, instead of answering the question, how are we doing, was I wanted to answer a more relevant question, which was, how do you keep going when you've experienced the death of your child? How do you keep going when so much of your life was taken up, more so for Denise than me, but so much of your life was taken up of the care for this child, revolved around caring for her with all the medical needs she had. And now there's a huge whopping hole in your home with her being gone. How do you keep going when you don't want to keep going? And so that was the question on my heart to bring to us that Sunday. How do you keep going? And you've been in similar type of situations in your life. I'm not unique in feeling asking that question, how do you keep going? But here I am 22 years later, and that question has not gone away. I mean, yes, it's involved many other situations and circumstances, but the answer I gave to us back in 2004, it's still been the same answer through the 22 years regarding whether it's Elizabeth or something else. It's the same answer that you need as followers of Christ, the answer I gave you then. So that's what I just want to share with you again, as this anniversary's been on my mind this week. But again, it's not a question that's just pertinent to my family. You've had to go through situations, and you all face situations where this is the question that we are asking. Did that come up? What are we doing, Jonathan? Okay. Did you do that or did I do that? Okay, we'll see if it keeps advancing. But this is the question so many of us have had to ask through the years in different situations. How do I keep going? How do I keep going in life? How do I keep going when maybe there's marriage struggles, or maybe the marriage is not as fulfilling as I thought it would be or hoped it would be? How do I keep going when there's some real parenting challenges in our home, or even later on after the children leave and their adult children? How do I keep going in this work situation that I'm in, and it's just not a good situation. Or maybe the person over me, the supervisor, the boss or whatever, is not the most ethical person. How do I keep going? How do I keep going when long-term sickness hits me? How do I keep going in broken family relationships? How do I keep going when some difficult trials touch my life? Or yes, how do I keep going when the Lord calls home a loved one in my family? How do we keep going? And you know the answer. It's by God's grace, isn't it? We keep going by God's grace. But the way I want to say it this morning is this. We keep going as we are, as we are sustained. I like that word. As we are sustained by His grace. If you were here last week as we studied Psalm 23, I shared with you how I love the spiritual insights we can glean from just the definition of basic words. And I gave you the definition of the word enough in relationship to the Lord is our shepherd and He is enough. And so I gave you the definition and saw the richness of how we could take that over and apply it spiritually. So I've got another definition for you this morning. All right, and it is the word enough, the word sustained. And it's such a beautiful and precious word. We are sustained. And so I'm going to give you the definition of it. As you look it up, you'll find, you know, sometimes you look in the definition, there's like 5, 6, 7 different components of that one word. And that's what you have with sustained. So let me just show these to you very quickly and then relate them to God's grace to me. All right. So the first part of the definition, sustain, it means to give support or relief to. And that's what God's grace has done for me, whether it's in relation to Elizabeth or other situation. His grace has supported me and it has brought relief. Another aspect of the definition means to supply with sustenance and nourish. And I can testify that His grace supplied me and nourished me with what I needed in those days. Another aspect of the definition is to keep up. His grace has kept me up. I am so, so grateful for that aspect of being sustained. Also, to another part of it, to support the weight of. His grace has supported the weight of our grief back in 2004. And as other situations as well. Here's another one. To carry or withstand. And you testified to that, right? How His grace has carried you. How His grace has enabled you to withstand a certain situation that you were involved in. Here's another one. To buoy up. And I can testify His grace has held me up, buoyed me up. And then one last one. To bear up and endure. And again, His grace has enabled me to endure. Now, look at those definitions. And you're going to see on there, there's no place where it says, when He sustains you, that means it's easy. Right? That's what we wish it meant. But it doesn't necessarily make it easy. But we are sustained, and these are different components of what that sustaining grace can look like in our lives. So my testimony to you this morning is throughout these 22 years, I have been sustained by His grace in relationship to our daughter, but I have been sustained by His grace in so many other areas and situations of life. But that was my, thank you, that was my testimony back in 2004. And it is my testimony up to this day as well, with great confidence, as continue to be that be my testimony until the day the Lord calls me home. So, brethren, this is how we keep going. We are sustained by His grace, no matter what the circumstance is today, tomorrow, next week, next year, the rest of my life. I can have the confidence that His grace will sustain me. And so let me show you something that really helped me many years ago to grasp this truth. And if you've been here long enough, this should be familiar to you because I've shared this with you other times in the past. But it's just when I learned this several years ago, it just really encouraged me. So if you have your Bibles, would you turn to 1 Peter chapter 1? You can put that on the screen, Jonathan. Thank you. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6. Very familiar verse, probably to most of you. It reads this way. In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials. King James says, trials. But look at the last phrase there. You have been distressed by various trials. And the word various in the Greek is the Greek word poikilos, but it means variegated, multicolored. And so what Peter is saying to us here is trials are going to come to us, and they're going to have many different colors and shapes, shades even, thank you, hues. They're going to have all these different kind of aspects to them. And so the trial that I'm facing may be a different color than the one you're facing. Or it just may be a different shade than the one you're facing because they may be similar type trials, but no two trials are exactly alike, right? Yours is going to be a little different from mine, even if it's the same type, same category of trial. So they may be a different color altogether, or it may be a different shade. Or the trial you experience 6 months from now may be similar, but just a little different than the one you're experiencing now. So there's different colors, different shapes, different sizes, different shades, different even hues of colors to our trials. So Peter is saying, he's declaring, you have been, you will be, continue to be distressed by multicolored trials. That's not exactly encouraging, is it? So here's the encouraging part. Flip over to chapter 4, verse 10. Let's see if this works now. There you go. Chapter 4, verse 10. Peter writes this. As each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. It's that same word, multicolored grace of God. Listen to how Kenneth Weiss, the Greek scholar, translates that last phrase. He writes this, be ministering it, talking about your gift, be ministering your gift among yourselves as good stewards of the variegated grace of God. J.B. Phillips, if you ever read his New Testament paraphrase, puts it this way, of the magnificently varied grace of God. So here's the point. Paul only uses this word two times. One time to talk about the multicolored trials that we will experience, and the other time to talk about the multicolored grace of God that is given to us. So if I could put those two things together, it would say, or I'd say it like this. No matter what color or shade your trial is, there is an exact color or shade of God's grace to match it. An exact shade to match whatever the uniquenesses of that thing you're experiencing and walking through is. William Barclay put it this way, there's no color in the human situation which the grace of God cannot match. So you face a trial that's hard, that's distressing to you. Maybe you kind of feel leveled by it. And then God gives out of His grace a perfectly matching grace to go with that particular trial. There's a grace to match whatever you're going through. Now listen, God didn't have to say it that way. Here in Peter, He just could have instructed Peter, just quote 2 Corinthians 12:9 again, my grace is sufficient. But could I suggest that He wanted to drive home this point through Peter, that whatever you're going through, I have a grace that matches it perfectly to see you through it to accomplish what I want to accomplish in your life through it. And through that, to bring me glory. Perfectly matched. He didn't have to say it that way, but he did. He did. So he's wanting to emphasize that point instead of just re-quoting 2 Corinthians 12:9. I was reminded when I was working on this of a quote from Elizabeth Elliot in her book, A Path Through Suffering. I don't know how many of you have ever read that book. It's well worth reading. But she writes in that book these words. How often am I troubled about something that looms ahead, wondering how I am to cope when the time comes? Why do I not bring it at once to the Lord, who stands ready with the next grace for the next thing? Why is it so easy to forget His simple word? If you need wisdom, I'll give it to you. If you need strength, it will be there in exact proportion to the difficulties of the day. If you need guidance, I'm your shepherd. If you need comfort, my name is Comforter. Corrie ten Boom was a woman of strong faith and a radiant face. Why? Not because she had not suffered, but because she had. And had responded to that great suffering. If you remember the story, she was in a concentration camp in Germany during World War II. She had responded to that suffering with trust. Learning the depth of human helplessness and weakness, she turned to her, quote, strong tower, and He was faithful to His promises. One of the most soul-fortifying pictures I have of her in my mind is of her getting up in the morning, standing up in her solitary cell and singing in a loud voice so that the other prisoners could hear, stand up for Jesus. Oh, I could never have survived, we say in response to that. Well, we were not asked to. But we could have if the Lord had allowed us to be put in her position and if we had responded as Corrie did, looking to Him for the next grace. So if someone says, how can I be sure that God's grace is sufficient for anything, for everything that might touch my life? And the answer is that because of, even though your trials and your circumstances may be different colors and shapes and shades and so forth, there is a perfectly matched grace that is sufficient to carry you through to accomplish what God wants to do. That's what His Word says. Now, you know what that means, don't you? That means that we cannot say that whatever I'm going through is too hard or too tough or too unique and then give in to anger or unforgiveness or to give up or to give in. No. He's saying here, there is a sufficient color of grace to match whatever color that trial, that difficulty is. God matches up perfectly to that multicolored trial with a multicolored grace exactly as we need. And so God has grace enough to match that day that I'm in, that week, to match the command he gives to me and how to respond to that. No matter what color it is, He gives to me what I need to please Him and honor Him. That just has encouraged me through the years since I've seen this in 1 Peter. There's a song in our hymn book. You probably don't ever remember singing it because we haven't sung it much because it's just a little more difficult tune. But it was written by the founder of the Alliance, A.B. Simpson, and it's entitled, My Grace is Sufficient for Thee. I'd like to just read it to you, please, so you can follow up here. I'll sing of the wonderful promise that Jesus has given to me. My strength is made perfect in weakness. My grace is sufficient for thee. Unless my poor heart should forget it or ever forgetful should be, He still keeps repeating the promise, My grace is sufficient for thee. His grace is sufficient to save me and cleanse me from guilt and from sin, sufficient to sanctify wholly and give me His Spirit within. His grace is sufficient for trials. No matter how hard they may be, this promise stands over against them. My grace is sufficient for thee. His grace is sufficient for sickness, sustaining, making me whole. His grace is sufficient when sorrows like billows roll over the soul. His grace is sufficient for service. It sets us from selfishness free and sends us to tell the tried ones, His grace is sufficient for thee. It's not our grace that's sufficient, but His grace. It ever must be. Our graces are transient and changing. His grace is unfailing as He. And so I am ever repeating this wonderful promise to me. My strength is made perfect in weakness. His grace is sufficient for thee. And here's the last verse. My grace is sufficient to live by. And should we be summoned to die, 'twill light up the valley of shadows and bear us away to Him on high. And when we shall stand with the ransomed and Christ in His glory shall see, we'll fall at His footstool confessing, Thy grace was sufficient for thee. Amen. Yes. And so I'm just standing before you again, 22 years later, excuse me, 22 years later, to just testify and praise the Lord for how He has sustained us by His grace. So, in light of that, there's a question that forms, a question that comes up. As such recipients of God's grace, how do we pay tribute to that grace He has given us? Or let me ask it this way. How do we honor God for all the grace that He's bestowed upon us throughout our lives, or maybe just in a particular situation, as I've mentioned to you this morning about us? How do we honor God in light of all the grace He's given to us? And if I opened it up for a discussion, my guess is one of the answers, and probably one that would be repeated in different forms, is, well, you respond by giving Him thanks. You give thanks for that grace that He has given to you. And listen, the Bible has much to say about giving thanks, doesn't it? It gives us many examples of people who gave thanks. It gives us great warnings about being ungrateful and not giving thanks. So that's an important thing. We have and we continue to give God thanks. But could I just split hairs for a moment? Giving thanks is a way to honor the Lord for past grace He's given you. Totally appropriate. It's not how we honor God for future grace. And I remember hearing that term years ago. I think it was from John Piper. He actually has written a book called Future Grace. And so in answer to the question, how do you keep going another day? How do you keep going another week, another year? How do you keep going after the death of your child or another traumatic trial or difficulty in your life? The answer is not in just by expressing gratitude for past grace God's given you. That can give you a confidence of what He is capable of doing. But rather, it's believing that for the rest of your days, for the rest of this day, for the rest of this week, for this year, until the day God calls me home, there will be more and more and more and more of future grace given so that we can walk with Him, pleasing Him, and bringing glory to Him. So, I think I've got it up here. So I honor God by going forth in confidence and faith that He will continue to supply His multicolored sustaining grace each and every day of my life for each and every need of my life. And yes, all the while giving Him praise for the grace He has already given me and how He sustained me through something that has touched my life. Let me point out something else to you. Suppose that out of genuine, deep gratitude for the grace God has given you, whether it's a particular situation or throughout your life, out of deep gratitude for the grace God has given to you, you want to do something for God, to, in a sense, pay Him back for the grace He has given to you. So you start thinking, I want to do this good work for the Lord. I want to do it in Jesus' name, just to render back to Him for all He's given to me. If you ever have a tendency to think like that, I would say that's the wrong way to think. Because if you're genuinely going to do something for Him in His name, what does that require to do it? It requires grace, doesn't it? If you're going to really do it in His name for His glory, it requires more grace. And so instead of kind of paying Him back for past grace, you're going more in depth to Him for more, right? Every time I do something, every time I'm requiring grace, I like being out of debt, but I love being in debt to Him and the grace He promises to give to us. So we'll say it this way. Every good thing we do in His name and for His glory takes us deeper into debt to His grace. You understand? So here's my call to us this morning. Would you join me in going deep into debt to His grace? Would you join me in praying for more grace? Would you join me in depending on more grace? And let's be ongoing debtors to God's grace in our life. So put it simply, if you like little sayings, you can think about it this way. Give Him thanks for past grace, but trust Him for future grace. All right? We don't want to eliminate the thanks part. Give Him thanks for that wonderful way He supplied in the past, but continue to trust Him for the grace you're going to need as you go forward. Because I think you're with me. I intend to stay a debtor to His grace. And I don't intend, don't take this irreverently, I don't intend to pay Him back for anything. One, I can't. Two, Scripture tells us we can't and tells us something else you're supposed to do instead. And so let's look at one other verse. Maybe, yeah, you remember, I saw that. You may have heard this verse before, but this is God's answer to us in response to this. Psalm 116, verse 12. Maybe you know this. What shall I render to the Lord for all His benefits towards me? That sounds like paying back, doesn't it? I'm going to render back to the Lord. Lord, I want to render back to You for all Your blessings, all Your benefits to me. What shall I render to the Lord? That was the question. So let's get a list of things we can do to render back to the Lord. You know what the next verse says? Some of you do. The next verse says, here's the answer to the question of what you can render back to the Lord. I will lift up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. In other words, Lord, I need more grace. Here's a situation that's come. I need You to fill the cup again. I need more grace. And if you let me picture it this way, the Lord might, you think, Lord, would the Lord say in response to that, that's an odd way to pay me back, is to ask for more. And then I can just kind of envision a broad smile coming on His face saying, but that's exactly the right answer. You come to me and ask for me to fill the cup again with the grace you need for this situation. That's the way He has designed us to live in relationship to Him. We pay God back, if I could use that term, render things back to God by trusting Him for the next grace that's needed in the situation that I'm facing in my life. And when we do that, brethren, He is glorified and He is honored. And that's what we're created to do, is it not? To glorify and honor Him in our lives. So one last verse. I'll go back to 1 Peter and read the next verse after 1 Peter 4:10. Let's read verse 11. It says this: Whoever speaks, let him speak as it were the utterances of God. Whoever serves, let him do so by the strength which God supplies, or the grace that God supplies, so that, here's one of those important so that's in the Bible. We didn't use this verse back in 2024 when we focused on the so that verse, but here's another great one. By the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So we are to serve in the strength or the grace that God gives us, so that in whatever we do, God is glorified through the Lord Jesus Christ. From John Piper's book, Future Grace, he writes, "Past grace is glorified by intense and joyful gratitude. Future grace is glorified by intense and joyful confidence. The only life I have left to live is future life. The past is not in my hands to offer or to alter. It's gone. Not even God will change the past. But all the expectations of God are future expectations. All the possibilities of faith and love are future possibilities. All the power that touches me with help to live in love is future power. So as precious as bygone blessings of God may be, and they are, if he leaves me with only the memory of those past graces, not with the promise of more or future graces, I will be undone. My hope for future goodness and future glory is future grace. So He will continue to give as I lift up that empty cup and trust Him to fill it again." Remember what the third verse of Amazing Grace says? Because it incorporates both these things here. Look at it. "Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come, and it's 'tis grace. Grace has brought me safe thus far." So I'm looking back, giving thanks. But here's the future part. Grace will also lead me home. Grace has carried me up to this point, but I know grace is going to continue to carry me, that future grace, all the way till I get home with the Lord Jesus. So, back to the original thought. How did my family keep going after the homegoing of Elizabeth and even since then? And how can you keep going with whatever trial you are or will be facing? We do so by trusting the Lord that every day and every instance, as I hold up that cup and call upon Him, He will sustain me again, will sustain me afresh with His grace. And as I trust Him for that, He is honored and glorified through my life. And so I just invite you, brethren, I just invite you to join me in going further in debt to God's grace, in this multicolored grace that matches whatever it is that's touching my life. Let's go more in debt to His grace and constantly be lifting up that cup of salvation and calling upon the name of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, I'm grateful to be able to share this testimony today. Thank You for Your grace that sustained us through a great hardship in our lives. Thank You for how I've seen that so often in Your people here. Lord, we have much to give thanks for, and we want to. We have. But Lord, today's a new day. I don't know what we're going to face today. I don't know what I'm going to face this week. But I know I'm going to be in need of your grace again. Whether it's just in small little ways, whether it's in rejecting the cry of sinful flesh, whether it's something bigger. So remind us this week of this picture you've given to us in 1 Peter, that no matter what I'm going through, no matter what the shade, color, whatever, there's a perfectly matched grace that I need to respond in honor and glory to you. Remind us to constantly be lifting up that cup of salvation and calling upon your name for that grace that we need afresh for this situation. Thank you that you delight in us being debtors to you. It's a good thing. It's the right way to live. And that you are such a graciously giving God to us. And we praise your holy name. In Jesus' name, amen.